Today's scripture is found in the closing chapter of Luke's gospel. Although the hearer reader of this chapter senses there's yet so much more to come, this story of two followers of Jesus who walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus and back again on the day of Christ's resurrection speaks about loss, presence, invitation, communion, and mission. All important themes on our own journey through life when accompanied by the stranger in our midst. Now on the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who had said, 'He is alive.' Some of those who went with us to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went with them to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were our not hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told him what had happened on the road and how he had made known to them in the breaking of bread. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, we didn't actually stage that mishap in the reading of that hymn, "He Lives, He Lives," but I found how powerful it speaks to our message this morning. You see, we were saying, I believe these things and I know these things and I have hope when I'm in despair, and then all of a sudden the words weren't there and the majority of us were silent. But we could hear the voices of the choir, who evidently had the words in script, echo that remembrance to us and continue that celebration and that voice. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus has risen today. Well, the Gospel of Luke is one of my favorite books of all times, not just because it's embedded in the scriptures, but because I just love how Luke really opens our minds to the truths about Jesus' life and his ministry and the things that he taught and about the ways of the kingdom of God. I loved that the people that he saw were real people like you and me. In fact, There were people that didn't have anything to do like you and me. They didn't dress like us. They didn't talk like us. They didn't act like us. In fact, we wouldn't have even known they existed. You see, in the Gospel of Luke, he's focusing on the least, the last, the lonely, the left out, the ones left behind. I know the image on your bulletin at first made you go, what, seriously? I mean, have you taken a look at the picture on the front? I hope it's the one I asked. Would you go home and share that story of what your first image was when you saw that? It's amazing that God's words and actions can be embedded in the life of real human beings, whatever their story is, wherever their journey has taken them. Well, I recently heard that in order for us to really know the Bible, we have to find our own stories in it. During our season of Lent and throughout Holy Week, we've been journeying together and contemplating and talking about the 24 hours in the life of Jesus that changed the world forever. We've been challenged to find ourselves in the story of Jesus and the disciples as they encountered all these things that had happened in those days. We, like these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, have shared with one another some of our own aha moments as we've connected Jesus' words and actions and the disciples' reactions during the events of the 24 hours. We've connected those to Old Testament scriptures as we've contemplated and discussed these 24 hours. We've looked at the Jewish customs and the scenes of the Holy Lands where all these things took place so long ago. What are you and I and the church contemplating this morning and talking about as we've journeyed together along the way? How many times have you and I encountered a newsflash or witnessed an event with our own eyes, and the very words that instinctively fall from our tongues are, I can't believe it, or are you kidding me? Some of you may have even heard younger generations say, get out of town. My kids like to say, for real? Sometimes we react to really good news, and really it's in these types of things that we respond with the I can't believe it. How about this one? Have you ever applied for a job and you really got it? I can't believe it. How about proposing to your girlfriend or your boyfriend and they actually said, yes? Or some of you enjoy playing golf and you've played it your whole life and you finally got that hole in one. Oh my goodness, did that really happen? Or how about this one, when you really did settle in New Smyrna Beach after retirement? I still hear some of you telling me, I just can't believe it. When the person sitting next to you really did park pretty on Easter Sunday, how about that one? Some of you are thinking, oh, I didn't park pretty. Or how about when the very thing you prayed for and hoped for really happened? Let me see if I can get this to stop doing that. Or you won't listen to a word I'm saying this whole time. Sometimes we react with disbelief when we encounter bad news. When that fish gets away. When the numbers on the weighing scales go up instead of down. Wow, y'all are listening. When we've given it our best and it isn't good enough. When our dreams turn to nightmares. When promises are broken. When I do's become I quit. When we lose that job. When our life savings take a nosedive. When we receive a bad diagnosis. Or when a loved one dies. Have you ever had good news interrupted by good news in between the sun rising and the sun setting, all in the same day? Has that ever happened to you? It's a running joke in our family that I can be on a high, have just received in the morning, a high mountaintop event, and be dancing with joy, and hours later receive a phone call that is so devastating it sucks the wind right out of my sails. Well, our storyteller Luke knew that there would be days like this, and he invites us to imagine ourselves walking close enough to eavesdrop on these two who have had an encounter with the risen Lord. During the season of Lent, I found myself spending a great time with this story until I was able to really sense the sadness and hopelessness that they were encountering. I sensed their urgency to unpack the whole story as they perceived it to the stranger, kind of like we do when we've had a blow in life. Oh, yes, it happened this way, but wait a second, then it got like this. And then, before you knew it, this compounded the whole situation. And my life is over, or I am blown away, or I have lost faith. One morning during my devotions a couple of weeks ago, I opened the Old Testament to Lamentations, and I stumbled onto the chapter 3, verses 17 through 24. I read these words: "My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, gone is my glory and all that I had hoped for from the Lord. The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall." Another word for wormwood and gall is bitterness and poison. "My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down with me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." Then unexpectedly, hours later, I learned of the tragic death of Jessica, a 27-year-old wife, mother of a 2-year-old girl and a granddaughter, who was a member of the youth group when I once served as youth director of a former church, and whose grandparents are dear friends of mine. I was asked to officiate for her memorial service yesterday during Easter week. I joined the family at their living room table as we prepared for that service last week. And our conversations, as we recalled the gift of who Jessica was to all of us, was filled with a mixture of emotions. Although we did not share in the act of Holy Communion in that moment, we did encounter a sacramental moment in the presence of the one who draws near to us in our grief and reminds us of his steadfast love that endures even in the midst of our own suffering and death. The two weary travelers in Luke's story had learned to trust in Jesus by recognizing his words and his deeds, the way he spoke with and ministered to the least, the lost, the lonely, and the left out. You see, they had high hopes that following Jesus would soon lead them to Israel's freedom from Rome's enemies and from the oppression that they experienced. But life got messy and confusing, frightening and dark, from the events at the Passover meal to the events that led to their loved one's suffering and death on the cross. All these things that had once brought them hope and joy while in the presence of Jesus quickly turned to feelings of despair and perplexity, doubt, fear, abandonment, loneliness, and yes, even foolishness maybe, for having trusted so much and believed so strongly. But they just had to get away from the chaos in the city. They needed some fresh air, try to make sense of it all, and somewhere along the way, they had forgotten. Frederick Buechner, an American writer and theologian, said that Emmaus is where we go. It's where we journey to, where these two went to try to forget about Jesus and the great failure of his life. Well, I don't know, that sounds a little bit harsh to me, and I have a hard time thinking about that. But haven't there been plenty of times in our own lives when we've wrestled with God? When we have found ourselves saying, "Where in the heck are you now? In the midst of all these things that are happening in my life." These two disciples' journey away from Jerusalem marked the beginning of their drifting away from high hopes and the beginning of drifting away from their community of companions who had remained in Jerusalem. Like you and me who get nearsighted and heart sick by our own suffering and our tribulation, these two disciples' sadness and hopelessness seem to prevent them from seeing God's redemptive purpose in the things that had happened. It was dictating their story. We also forget the powerful words and deeds of God from the beginning of creation to the present age. We allow our current events or circumstances or the world around us and all that is happening to dictate what our minds reason to be the true story about life. We allow the experiences to form our perspectives and stir within us bitterness and poison. We soon lose sight of who the people of God were called to be. We simply lose sight all too quickly of the God who so loved the world. We forget how Jesus stayed aligned with a divine GPS. I love that. We all need a GPS. God's purpose of salvation. We so easily forget that through means of grace encountered in a healthy prayer life, Jesus, through prayer and through knowing the scriptures and pausing to rest in God's presence, to have table fellowship where, according to Luke's gospel, all persons are welcome, is where we meet God's divine grace and unconditional love. That's the kingdom story. Henry Nouwen states that, like Jesus who came near and journeyed with these two disciples, Jesus joins us as we walk in sadness or hopelessness, and he explains to us the scriptures. Sometimes we get caught interpreting scriptures when we read only by ourselves, and yes, God does speak through his word. But if we have not allowed the stranger to interpret the scripture for us, we run into situations where we tell the wrong story. You see, we don't know that this is Jesus. We think of him as a stranger who knows less than we do of what's happening in our lives. And still, we know something. We sense something. We intuit something. And our hearts begin to burn. At the very moment that God in the flesh is with us, we cannot fully understand what's happening. And later, when time has passed and when it's over, we might be able to ask, weren't our hearts on fire when he spoke to us along the road and when he explained the scriptures to us? This grace-filled encounter with the living word begins to realign our perspective with that of God's perspective. We become less inward focused so that by the time we begin to build a renewed sense of trust in Jesus, we long for more of his presence. We invite him to stay and commune with us. God wants not only to teach us and to instruct us or to inspire us, God wants to become one with us. God desires to be fully united with us so that all of God and all of us can be bound together in a lasting love story. Yet, as we discover in this story, while God remains with us, God is also on the move. sometimes as if vanishing from our sights. We are left with a hunger for more fellowship, as did the disciples who in that very hour got up and returned to Jerusalem to join their companions and share their witness of encountering the risen Lord. Luke's story of the risen Lord continues in the chapter 24. It's another eye-opening encounter as they have all gathered the disciples in one place. And while there is joy with the disciples, there is also still, you'll read, that disbelieving as Jesus ate a meal with them and again opened their minds to the scriptures. In his words and in his actions, their stories were changed forever. And his story became their witness and their testimony to the new things that would happen in the world while they waited together for the gift of God's power on high. What are you and I in the church contemplating and talking about as we walk along the way? Where do we see the risen Lord present in our stories in such transforming ways that our witness is heard and seen in the ordinary deeds and events and thoughts in our lives? Well, I want to suggest to you that during Easter week, I had a couple of those encounters. The first experience happened last Easter morning. I woke up bright and early, not to get to see the sunrise and worship on the beach, but to get a parking space so the rest of you could park pretty. And way out yonder, about I don't know how far away, I walked a couple of blocks. I encountered a young woman in the parking lot. There was barely enough sunlight. It was our own Emily Edwards, our director of youth and Christian ministries. She was outside her calling in ministry. It didn't fit within her job description, but she was out there marking the lines of the parking lots all around this church so that we could park pretty. There was an example right before me of God's living word and table fellowship unfolding in the life of a young woman who got it, whose eyes were open as she was raised in a Christian home. Her impact changed my attitude and my perspective of the morning. Several nights ago, I was here and working through, you know, sometimes we practice doing what we're doing. But I was here and it was very late at night. It was approaching 11 o'clock and one of our custodians who works here till 11 or midnight was here. And he saw the light on in my office. And normally, he's the only one here in the day school working at night. But he came to my office and he tapped on my door and he said, "Are you here alone?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "How much more work do you have to do?" I said, "Well, I'm packing up and getting ready to go. Do you want me to shine my flashlight on your path? The lights are out. And I'll help you to your car." It was in that sacramental moment that I recalled the time that Christ spent at the table with his disciples. And before he broke bread, he washed their feet. And in the washing of the feet and in the telling of that account, we have learned to become servant ministers, to take the ordinary thoughts and deeds and our actions and put them into something that represents that living word and the table fellowship that we share together. Well, we have the opportunity, having heard God's word today, to come to the table, to share in the reminder so that we don't forget that this story is a grand story and we can find our stories in the broken bread and the poured out wine, remembering that we indeed serve a risen Savior. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives. Today, let us pray. Oh God, we give thanks for your word. We give thanks for your word that was speaking life into all of creation, and that word that continued to speak into our humanity, in our brokenness, in our separation from you, and then that word that came and walked among us That word that reminds us that from this point on, from this very hour, we can rise with exceedingly great joy and go and tell the good news. We have seen the risen Christ. Give us eyes to see what you see in the world. Help us find those places in life and other people's stories where they need a stranger to come and just be present, asking the questions and empowering them to tell their stories. And then, oh God, help us find the common denominator that links us together so that others may know you live and we never walk alone. God is with us and your love never fails. It's new for us every morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.